Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil.
Shalom and welcome to His Word Heals. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before. So if this is your first time tuning in, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon Himself, so that we could have a fresh start clothed in His righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal His people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, His Word, is still able to heal His people today. Today is our 23rd program and 5th in an in-depth study on biblical healing. Last week we had just begun taking a closer look at our Creator's everlasting covenant made with Abraham. Today we will follow this covenant down through history to our present day to see what covenant it is that we inherit through rebirth in Yeshua, while also looking at the promises connected to it. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Abba, I pray in the name of Yeshua, my Savior and King, that the words and information spoken today would only honor you and your Son, that any words that are not from you would fall to the ground, but that your words would be heard by those whom you choose to hear them. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Last week we had just begun going over the fact that Ishmael, the son of Hagar and Abraham, did receive a promise to be a great nation, but that a more specific covenant, which Yahweh referred to as an everlasting covenant, was promised to come through Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, not Hagar. The first everlasting covenant made to Noah was to all flesh on the earth, including the animals. This everlasting covenant was made specifically with Isaac and his descendants from Abraham through Isaac. Let's follow this everlasting or lasting forever covenant and watch as it unfolds and is built upon through His word. Isaac is born to Sarah, just as Yahweh promised. Then, when Isaac is over 30 years of age, we read in Genesis 22:1-2, that Elohim did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. If you do a closer inspection of Scripture, you will see that Isaac was not a boy as portrayed in popular movies and Sunday school stories, but was actually a grown man who could have easily refused and resisted his elderly father up on Mount Moriah. Instead, Isaac was an obedient son and willing sacrifice. The offering of Isaac, of course, was a picture of Yeshua, Yahweh's only begotten Son, being an obedient son and willing sacrifice for the sins of the world. Most of you know the story. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, our father stopped him and instead provided a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham's obedience and faith in his promise is what Yahweh was testing. Abraham believed that even if he sacrificed his son Isaac, Yahweh was able to raise him from the grave and still give him the promised heirs through Isaac. So then, in Genesis 22:16, Yahweh reaffirms His promise to Abraham through Isaac. By myself I have sworn, saith Yahweh, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy only son, thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let us follow this seed. Isaac takes Rebekah for his wife, and she bore him two sons, Esau and Jacob. Meanwhile, Yahweh reaffirms again that the promise to Abraham would also be to Isaac, both in physical blessings of this life and the promise of future blessing through his seed as well. Genesis 26:12-14. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in that same year 100-fold, and Yahweh blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Genesis 26:24-25. And Yahweh appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am Yahweh thy Elohim of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. In acceptance of and faith in this promise, Isaac made a covenant sacrifice in Genesis 26:25, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of Yahweh and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Isaac and Rebekah have twin sons, Esau and Jacob. In Genesis 27:28, we read about how Jacob bought and tricked Esau out of the firstborn birthright because Esau valued this birthright so little. Jacob then left his family to find a wife. Esau had set his heart to kill his brother once he realized what making an oath, giving up his birthright, meant. Jacob went through a long and hard trial himself, reaping the deception he himself had sowed. His future father-in-law tricked him into marrying his firstborn daughter when Jacob wanted his secondborn. Jacob ended up marrying them both. Again, Yahweh reaffirms his promise to Abraham, but this time through Jacob as well, naming him the heir through which this promise would come. He first renames Jacob Israel in Genesis 32, and then reaffirms both the new name and the promised covenant in Genesis 35:9-15. And Elohim appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Padan-Aram, and blessed him. And Elohim said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And Elohim said unto him, I am El Shaddai, or Elohim Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And Elohim went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where Elohim spoke with him Bethel. Jacob, now Israel, has a total of 12 sons through his now 4 wives, sisters Leah and Rachel, and their 2 handmaids, which they also gave to Jacob as wives when they were unable to bear themselves. Leah bore his first 4 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Then barren Rachel gave her handmaid Bilhah to Jacob to bear him sons for her. Bilhah bore his 5th and 6th sons, Dan and Naphtali. Leah stopped bearing for a while herself, so she gave her handmaid Zilpah to Jacob to bear more sons for her. Zilpah bore Jacob's 7th and 8th sons, Gad and Asher. Then Yahweh reopened Leah's womb, and she bore Jacob's 9th and 10th sons, Issachar and Zebulun. Then finally Rachel's womb was opened, and she herself bore Jacob's 11th and 12th sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Jacob, renamed Israel by Yahweh, had a total of 12 sons, whose descendants became the 12 tribes of Israel, their father. All of the promises of Yahweh through this everlasting covenant made to Abraham and reaffirmed to Isaac and Jacob, or Israel, were to be passed down through these 12 tribes. After Jacob's death, these 12 tribes became slaves in Egypt and were under a heavy burden. Exodus 2:24 tells us, And Elohim heard their groaning, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. This is when Yahweh then redeemed them from the slavery through his servant Moses, who led them through the wilderness, a picture of their sanctification, on the way to their promised land. Yahweh's servant Joshua then led them into the promised land, where they became the nation of Israel. While the everlasting covenant and promise of the kingdom and inheritance of the land and many, many other promises were made to all of the descendants of Israel, a very specific part of the everlasting covenant was promised to come through the tribe of Judah. This part of the everlasting covenant, orchestrated by Yahweh from the very beginning of creation and the fall of Adam for the salvation of the world, was eventually revealed to come through the tribe of Judah, the Jews, and more specifically through the line of King David. In the blessing given to Judah by his father Jacob, Israel, just before his death in Genesis 49:10, we see that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. King David came through the line of the tribe of Judah, or Jews, as we see in 1 Chronicles 2. King David's throne is promised to last forever by Yahweh, as spoken through his prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 7:16-17. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. This truth is witnessed in numerous other scriptures, one of which is Psalms 89:3-4. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And Psalms 89:28-29. My mercy will I keep for him for evermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure for ever, and his throne as the days of heaven. This covenant with King David is also an everlasting covenant that will not be broken, as we can see in Jeremiah 33:20-21 and 25:26. Thus saith Yahweh, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. Thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I had not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Obviously, neither the covenant of day and night nor the laws of the heavens have been broken or cast away by Yahweh. So this promise to the seed of Jacob and to David has also not been broken or cast away. Consider the following passage of Isaiah 11:1-2. Isaiah the prophet, who lived long after King David had passed away, was prophesying here about our Messiah Yeshua, who would come through King David, whose father was Jesse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. Read Matthew 1, which recounts the lineage through which these covenant promises were passed, beginning with Abraham and passing through Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and King David, down to Yeshua our Messiah. These promises are then passed on through Yeshua to those that are his, given to him by his Father, our Creator. Then read what Paul tells us in Romans 11. In Romans 11, Paul explains to us how the seed of Abraham has blessed all of the nations of the earth through Yeshua, as Yahweh promised Abraham way back in Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Paul points out that anyone, Jew or Gentile, natural branch or wild branch, who repents of sin, breaking of our Creator's rules, and accepts Yeshua as Master and Savior through faith in the redemption of his sacrificial blood and his resurrection, will be grafted or adopted into, or in the case of the cut-off natural branches, back into the tree of Israel, Yahweh's family or chosen people. The root of this tree of Israel goes all the way back to the promises made to Abraham. Those promises are now our promises as well, once we are grafted in or adopted as His children through His Son. We are now made eligible to partake of all of His covenant promises made to and through His people, going all the way back to Abraham, including the promise of healing. Take care, though, just as the promises of blessing for obedience now belong to us, so also do the promises of cursing or chastisements for disobedience. We are warned by Paul in Hebrews 10:26-29, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, and fiery indignation shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." In other words, be very careful. We should not take our forgiveness for granted and continue willfully breaking the rules of our Creator, assuming that He will continue to forgive us of intentional sins once we know better. According to Paul, this would be in essence trampling the Son of Elohim underfoot and counting His blood as not set apart, but instead as profane or common. There is no more sacrifice for this willful sin once we know better and understand the truth. This should shake us to our core and make us take Yahweh's rules for His kingdom a little more seriously. Take heart, though, our Father is very merciful and long-suffering and doesn't want any to perish. He loves us and would much rather bless us. He will gladly shower us with His promised blessings when we repent, obey, and glorify Him and His Son. This grafting in or adoption into Israel or the family of Yahweh is not a new concept in the apostolic writings or New Testament. One of my favorite stories in the first writings or Old Testament is the story of Ruth. She was a Moabitess who joined Israel, married her kinsman redeemer Boaz, a picture of Yeshua as our bridegroom, kinsman redeemer, and became the grandmother of King David. She was not an Israelite. In fact, she was a Moabite from Moab. The Moabites are the children of the incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. They are also the ones who conspired with Balaam to curse the children of Israel when they were about to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy 23:3-4. "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahweh forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee." However, we see in Ruth 1:16 that in faith she declares to her mother-in-law, Naomi, an Israelite, after her husband, Naomi's son, had died while they were living in Moab, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy Elohim my Elohim." She accompanied Naomi on the long journey back to Israel from Moab, and then not only married Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, but was also blessed by Yahweh in that she became the grandmother of King David. Yes, she was even in the line from which Yeshua descended, the line of the promise. Her declaration of faith needs to be our declaration of faith in Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation. We can join Yahweh's kingdom as part of His chosen people Israel, His children, when we accept the redemption of Yeshua and turn from our disobedience and dismissal of His commands to obedience. We bring Him honor and glory that He deserves. As His children, we can know then that all of the promises made to His people Israel in the entire Bible are for us as well as those who were alive at the time the promises were made. Deuteronomy 29:9-15 says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. You stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, that thou should enter into the covenant with Yahweh your Elohim. and into his oath, which Yahweh your Elohim made with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee an Elohim, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here today before Yahweh our Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. The previous chapter, Deuteronomy 28, had outlined the blessings for obedience contrasted to the judgments for disobedience that would be applied to those accepting his covenant. The rest of Deuteronomy 29 finishes by outlining again the promised judgments for disobedience. When we join his people in his kingdom, we are agreeing to abide by the rules of his kingdom and covenant. He offers this covenant to all who would accept it in faith and obedience. Yahweh has sealed his promises and redeemed us from sin back to a right relationship with himself through Yeshua's voluntary and redeeming death. Once accepting this redemption, we can then be partakers of all of his promises, which are many and wonderful, including the promise of healing. Please read the book of Deuteronomy for yourselves before moving forward. Deuteronomy outlines all of our Creator's rules, commands, and right rulings for his people. Please keep in mind that some of them, as they relate to the priesthood or temple, are not able to be properly obeyed today because, 1, we are not in the land, but are instead in exile because of our forefathers' disobedience, and 2, there is not a physical temple anointed by Yahweh or a Levitical priesthood in place today either. Yeshua is our high priest in the heavens, sitting at the right hand of our Father. However, we should still obey all that we are able to obey, and honor the days that our Creator and Father set apart to himself as special meetings or celebrations. We can learn and understand the spirit or purpose behind all of his laws, which teach us how to worship and honor him, and how to treat and love one another. Keep in mind, Christians have not replaced Israel through Yeshua, as some churches may claim or teach. Instead, as we have just learned through Scripture, we can be joined to the people of Israel, Yahweh's chosen people, and their promises from Yahweh through Yeshua. Before you can understand much of what Paul teaches in his epistles, you need to understand who Israel is and who the Jews are. Before we end today, here's a quick recap just in case this is still not completely clear. The people of Israel are the physical descendants of Jacob, renamed Israel by Yahweh, through his 12 sons, whose descendants became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. The Jews are the descendants of one of those 12 tribes or sons, which was Judah. The root and fatness of Israel that Paul is talking about in Romans 11 would be the promises and complete Torah or word as given to Abraham, his son Isaac, Isaac's son Jacob, who was renamed Israel, Moses, and the prophets in the first writings or Old Testament. All of the wonderful promises we are heirs to were made to and or through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes or sons of Israel. It is this family that anyone from the nations in the entire world can be grafted into or adopted into through Yeshua's willing sacrifice on the cross or stake. This grafting in or adoption means we are in covenant relationship with the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of course Yeshua. Yeshua was from the tribe of Judah, hence he was not only a Jew, but also an Israelite. All Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. This covenant, which we can join through Yeshua, comes with rules of conduct which those who accept the covenant are expected to obey. Obedience to the laws of Yahweh's kingdom maintains order in the kingdom or family and honors the king and father, who then blesses his obedient children. Disobedience brings chaos and dishonors the king and father, and brings judgment and or removal of the promised blessings. Next week we will start studying Yeshua's ministry and why healing was a significant part of his ministry. Thank you for joining me today, and Yah willing, I look forward to studying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes. And if this is your first time tuning in, please visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com, and you can download for free all of our past teachings leading up to this one.